From ancient civilizations to the present day, the greater one-horned rhinoceros has been an icon of South Asia. Magnificent, enormous, unmistakable, it's a source of wonder, of pride, and of tourist revenue. People realized what was happening just in time. The fight to save the greater one-horned rhino has become one of the great conservation success stories. Today there are around 3,500 greater one-horned rhinos in the wild. And while they still face significant threats from poaching and habitat loss, rhinos are being reintroduced into new areas and population numbers are still growing. In a world where we are perennially on the back foot trying desperately to slow down the rate of biodiversity loss, the experience of rhino conservation in India and Nepal shows that it's possible to recover lost ground and expand large mammal populations. What is needed is a clear vision, strong partnerships, adequate funding, and a lot of determination. We now have a historic opportunity to build on these successes. WWF's vision is to bring rhino populations up to sustainable levels, to reintroduce them to areas where they have disappeared, and ultimately to restore rhinos to their historical range. Our first goal is to increase the greater one-horned rhino population in India, Nepal, and Bhutan to at least 4,000 by 2020. We hope eventually to see the species removed from the IUCN Red List of Threatened Species as its long-term future is secured. Such an achievement would not only ensure that these remarkable animals will continue to amaze and inspire future generations, it could also provide significant benefits for the communities that live alongside rhinos and provide a focus for wider conservation and sustainable development opportunities. This publication looks at the past, present, and future of the greater one-horned rhino, the rich heritage we so nearly lost, the hard-won lessons and successes, the challenges we still face, and what we stand to gain. Our first goal is to increase the greater one-horned rhino population in India, Nepal, and Bhutan to at least 4,000 by 2025. From the earliest civilizations through to the present day, few animals have captured the human imagination like the greater one-horned rhino. The rhino remains one of the world's most charismatic animals. It's the state animal of Assam, where 3/4 of greater one-horned rhinos live. For WWF, it's a flagship species, one of a handful of iconic animals that provide a focus for raising awareness and stimulating action and funding for broader conservation efforts, such as protecting important grassland ecosystems. This flagship role, and the rhino's tourism appeal, also provides opportunities for governments and communities. Archaeologists have found many representations of the rhino in ancient cultures, ranging across the subcontinent. It appears on seals, pottery, masks, and copper tablets dating back to the Harappan civilization, which flourished in the Indus Valley as far east as Afghanistan from 2600 to 1900 BC. Further south in India, excavations have unearthed rhinoceros artifacts in several early Bronze Age sites. In Madhya Pradesh, India, cave paintings showing men with spears hunting rhinoceros date back hundreds or perhaps even thousands of years. Gupta Empire coins minted in the 5th century show the king on horseback attacking a rhino, a tradition continued 1,000 years later by the Mughal emperors, frequently depicted in beautiful illuminated manuscripts. The rhino is a creature of great symbolic importance in religious contexts. It appears in Hindu, Buddhist, and Jain sacred scriptures. The mighty Ganges itself was sometimes represented as an old man of an austere aspect, crowned with palms, and pouring water out of a vase, with a rhinoceros by his side. The ancient Hindu Vishnu Purana mentions that rhinoceros flesh gives eternal satisfaction to those worshipped at ancestral ceremonies, while the horn of the animal consumes all sins. Ritual sacrifices took place for many centuries. In Nepal, it became customary for rulers to kill a male rhino once in their career and to make an offering of the animal's blood to the ancestors and pray for peace and prosperity. This ceremony, referred to as blood tarpan, last took place as recently as 1979. Rhinos in some areas were once common enough to be caught and semi-domesticated, sometimes even being used in place of buffaloes to plow fields. It was not uncommon during the 18th century for rich merchants to keep a rhinoceros in their gardens, while the Nawabs of Lucknow kept extravagant menageries including as many as 10 or more rhinos. Numerous 19th century records exist too of rhinos being made to fight for the entertainment of the ruling classes. The first rhino ever seen in Europe was sent from India to the King of Portugal in 1515, and later offered as a gift to Pope Leo X. Sadly, the animal died in a shipwreck on the way to Rome, but not before it had been immortalized in a woodcut by the great German artist Albrecht Dürer of Nuremberg. Dürer, who never saw the rhino firsthand, depicted a great armor-clad beast which, curiously, had a large horn on the nose as well as a small hornlet pointing forwards in the shoulder region. This image appeared in all the books in which a rhino was depicted, well into the 18th century, meaning that for at least 300 years the rhinoceros as imagined by Dürer defined the popular European image of the species. Times have changed. Serious efforts to save the rhino have been going on for a century now. Conservation has become an international issue. A series of national parks has been established, and overall numbers have seen encouraging growth for decades. It's a very long time since anybody has been legally allowed to shoot a rhino. But although the status of the greater one-horned rhino has improved from endangered, it remains vulnerable. Threats today come in new forms, and there is still potential for a disastrous reversal of the hard-won progress that has been achieved. A key reason for this is that rhino populations remain scattered across less than 20,000 square kilometers comprising only 10 sites, some of which, particularly in Nepal and northeast India, are seeing a decline in numbers. With over 70% of the population concentrated in Kaziranga National Park, a local catastrophe, whether caused by poaching, disease, or some other factor, could have a devastating effect. Poaching is a constant menace in all areas where rhinos are found. Rhino horn is a highly prized, though now outlawed ingredient in traditional Chinese medicine. More recently, it's gained a totally unfounded reputation as a cancer treatment, as well as an aphrodisiac and a hangover cure. Demand has soared, particularly in Vietnam, and criminal gangs can make fortunes illegally selling it on the Asian market. Poachers themselves will only see a fraction of the profits, but to many desperately poor people, it's a risk worth taking. This growing demand has fueled a poaching crisis in Africa. In South Africa, the number of rhinos killed by poachers jumped from 13 in 2007 to 1,175 in 2015. Thanks to the bravery and commitment of anti-poaching teams, backed up by strong government and donor support and good relationships with local communities, poaching of rhinos in India and Nepal has largely been kept under control. Nepal, for example, has achieved zero poaching for 4 years since 2011. But as long as demand for rhino horn persists in nearby consumer countries, poaching will remain a threat, and constant vigilance is needed. The concentration of rhinos in just a few areas makes them particularly vulnerable to poachers and the organized crime syndicates that run the trade. The need for control, poaching in Kaziranga and Manas. Government and national park authorities have made great strides in tackling poaching. Anti-poaching camps are staffed in all reserves. In impressive numbers, Kaziranga National Park currently has 174 anti-poaching camps, including 9 which float in the Brahmaputra River. But the scale of this activity reflects the scale of the problem. From 1984 to 2004, the park lost 371 rhinos to poachers, while a further 206 have been killed in the decades since then. Keeping poaching under control requires enormous ongoing efforts. The poachers themselves are running great risks. Since 1996, 411 have been arrested by park authorities, while 65 have been killed in encounters with frontline staff. But the potential rewards offered by the criminal gangs remain too great an incentive, and so the fight against poaching in Kasaranga continues. While there is still room for improvement, Kasaranga currently seems to have poaching under control. But the logistical challenges in running any national park require strong state engagement, and not all parks have had such success. The story of Manas National Park in northeast India shows how badly things can go wrong on a local basis. Between 1989 and 2003, there was severe unrest in the region as the indigenous Bodo people fought to establish a homeland. During the years of violent struggle, the park itself became a target, infrastructure facilities and anti-poaching camps were destroyed, staff were murdered, and its whole management system fell apart. This meant the population of around 100 rhinos was left unprotected, and during the years of the insurgency poachers, many apparently linked to militant factions, killed every single one. Lakhwa and Birakapuri wildlife sanctuaries had previously lost their entire rhino populations of around 60 animals during the political turmoil of the Assam agitations in the early 1980s. Rhinos have since been reintroduced to Manas National Park and plans for reintroduction in Birakapuri and Lakhwa are well underway, but the earlier slaughter shows how indispensable it is to maintain strong anti-poaching measures in every rhino population center. If anything similar were ever to happen in Kasaranga, the overall survival of the species could be thrown into doubt. Habitat destruction remains the other main threat to the rhino. Protected area sand buffer zones continue to suffer from human encroachment, and grazing by domestic livestock is causing serious damage in some localities. Alien plant species are also invading some of the grasslands on which the rhinos depend, dominating and destroying the indigenous vegetation. In other areas, increasing forest cover has come at the expense of grassland habitats. Elsewhere, beels, bodies of water used by rhinos, have become silted up. Unlike with poaching, where the discovery of a hornless corpse is an unarguable indicator, it is hard to quantify the damage caused to rhino populations by habitat change and destruction. Many factors affect life expectancy, reproductive rates, and so on, and need addressing in different ways, but detailed zoological studies show that there is a definite correlation between a decline in the quality of habitat and a threat to population numbers. WWF and partners are working on a range of initiatives to protect and restore habitats across the subcontinent, tailored to local requirements. A key priority is to establish protected corridors between areas where rhinos are currently found, which would increase the range over which individual rhinos could pass and lessen the likelihood of human-rhino conflict as they stray outside reserves. Allowing individuals to mix more widely would also strengthen the genetic diversity of the rhino population. A number of upcoming infrastructure developments within the Terai Arc landscape, including the upcoming Indo-Nepal border road and roads, railways, and power lines on both sides of the border, also pose a threat to rhino habitats and corridors. WWF is working to ensure that new developments are sensitively planned to avoid negative impacts on habitats and connectivity. Rhinos are making a comeback in several Indian states thanks to conservation efforts, most notably in Assam, home to 70% of the greater one-horned rhino population. For the last 10 years, WWF has been working with the Assam Forest Department, the International Rhino Foundation, and other partners on the Indian Rhino Vision 2020, IRV 2020. This ambitious program aims to increase the numbers of wild rhinos in Assam from 2001, the population at the time it was launched, to 3,000, spread across 7 protected areas. This requires an annual population increase of around 3%. So far, results have been very encouraging. By 2015, the rhino population in Assam had reached 2,626, well on track to meeting the 2020 goal. The first 3 years of the program involved extensive field work to improve protection for existing populations and areas where rhinos could be reintroduced. In April 2008, the first translocations took place from Pabatoro Wildlife Sanctuary to Manas National Park. These were the first rhinos in Manas since the entire population had been killed by poachers during civil unrest in the late 20th century. Further translocations to Manas followed, with more rhinos coming from Pabatoro and also from Kaziranga. Progress has been encouraging. In the late summer of 2012, the first birth took place, and two more followed in 2013. Sadly, new populations face the same threats as old ones, and 6 of the new rhinos were poached in Manas from October 2011 to October 2013. However, the reintroduced rhino population in Manas is now well established, currently numbering 32, and breeding successfully. This can be considered a major conservation success. Plans are also being made under IRV 2020 to reintroduce rhinos through translocation to Dibrua Saikowa National Park and Lakowa and Burakapori Wildlife Sanctuaries. IRV 2020 also aims to improve security in rhino-bearing areas. The use of drones for surveillance was first tested in Kaziranga National Park. To improve protection measures in Manas National Park, rangers now use smart patrolling, employing digital technology to transmit real-time information from the field. Initial results have been encouraging. Nepal also has a government-backed conservation action plan in place to safeguard the rhino. This has a number of aspects, translocations, anti-poaching measures, and broader community development and habitat protection, which are being supported by a range of partners and stakeholders, including WWF Nepal. Chitwan National Park is the main population center. From 1986 to 2003, 87 rhinos were translocated from Chitwan to Bardia National Park 83 and Sukhothanta Wildlife Reserve 4. Translocated rhinos have successfully bred in Bardia, and a self-sustaining population is developing. The goal is for this to grow to 100. In 2012, WWF tested one of the world's first conservation drones in Chitwan National Park, a small unmanned plane that can monitor animals and illegal activities in remote areas, and has also helped introduce innovations such as sniffer dogs and smartphone apps to improve patrolling. Maintaining isolated pockets of populations in wildlife reserves is not enough. Long-term conservation of endangered large mammals needs a landscape-based approach. Rhinos need to be able to move safely between protected areas without coming into conflict with human activity. This means creating and maintaining forest corridors and making sure land uses in the surrounding areas are sustainably planned and managed. Areas guides all WWF's work on rhinos and elephants in Asia. It's an ambitious program which combines cutting-edge conservation biology with trade monitoring, socio-economic analysis, and policy advocacy. Working closely with rhino populations in the field, areas protects and restores habitats, runs translocation programs, and spearheads anti-poaching initiatives. It's also deeply involved with community development, giving people in surrounding areas the support they need to implement long-term sustainable strategies for agriculture, forestry, and other forms of land use. By 2020, greater one-horned rhinos will increase to 4,000 in India, Nepal, and Bhutan, resulting in the removal of the species from the IUCN Red List of Threatened Species. Objective 1, protect existing rhino populations in 7 protected areas in India, Nepal, and Bhutan through improved anti-poaching efforts. The 7 protected areas are Kaziranga, Orang and Dudhwa National Parks in Pabitora Wildlife Sanctuary, India, Manas National Park, India/Royal Manas National Park, Bhutan, Chitwan National Park and Sukhothanta Wildlife Reserve, Nepal. Strategy A. Improve the management of protected areas by equipping and training rangers to use law enforcement monitoring protocols like SMART and STRIPES, which help rangers identify and address gaps in park security. Strategy B. Strengthen anti-poaching efforts by deploying and training rangers to use new tools such as conservation drones, sniffer dogs, gunshot detectors, and movement sensing cameras. Strategy C. Strengthen and expand existing informer networks to collect intelligence on poachers and prevent rhinos from being killed. Objective 2. Identify and secure new potential rhino habitat areas. Strategy A. Implement immediate security measures in Burikapuri Lakwa Wildlife Sanctuary, Assam, India, and Babai Valley, Bardia National Park, Nepal, so the areas are able to receive and protect translocated rhinos, including constructing new guard posts, increasing the number of patrol staff, and improving law enforcement and technical skills, in line with the strategies listed above. Strategy B. Investigate the feasibility of reintroducing rhinos to Dibrusaikoa National Park, Assam, India, during Wildlife Sanctuary, Arunachal Pradesh, India, Katurnia Ghat Wildlife Sanctuary and Pilibhit Tiger Reserve, Uttar Pradesh, India and Buxa Tiger Reserve, West Bengal, India. Objective 3. Create 2 new populations and expand 2 existing smaller populations through translocation. Strategy A. Translocate 50 rhinos from Nepal's Chitwan National Park to Babai Valley in Bardia National Park to create a new population of rhinos in Nepal. Strategy B. Translocate 20 rhinos from India's Kaziranga National Park to Burikapuri Lakwa Wildlife Sanctuary to create a new population. Strategy C. Translocate 20 rhinos to Manas National Park, a transboundary protected area shared by Bhutan and India, to a new rhino rehabilitation area within Dudhwa National Park, Uttar Pradesh, India, and to Nepal's Sukhothanta Wildlife Reserve to strengthen existing small populations. Objective 4. Ensure community stewardship for rhino conservation. Communities become the rhino's best friend. Strategy A. Create incentives for communities to support rhino conservation initiatives, such as rhino-linked tourism and other livelihood development projects. Strategy B. Strengthen capacity of local community institutions, including anti-poaching networks. Build awareness of rhino conservation among students, for example, through exchange visits. Strategy C. Minimize human-rhino conflict in buffer zones around protected areas. The Himalayas is one of the most diverse regions on Earth, home to an enormous range of wildlife across hugely different environments. From snow-capped peaks to lowland jungles, the biodiversity is enormous, and so are the conservation challenges. Both people and wildlife depend on the resources of the Himalayas, but as human populations have increased, these resources are being used faster than they can be replenished. Forests are becoming fragmented and wild spaces are decreasing, causing serious problems for wildlife. the rhino has suffered along with other endangered species. For some 50 years, WWF has been actively involved in the region, working to protect species and habitats and promote sustainable development. LHI aims to protect, restore, and reconnect natural landscapes across the eastern Himalayas, allowing plant and animal species to thrive while local communities improve their livelihoods through sustainable use of natural resources. Governments, communities, and industries in India, Nepal, and Bhutan are all important stakeholders in the plan. Rhinos are an important flagship species for the LHI, because by protecting rhinos, we can protect much more besides. The future of rhinos depends on well-managed, well-connected protected areas that are secure from poaching and encroachment. This benefits a host of other species, especially tigers and their prey. It also ensures that ecosystems remain healthy and resilient and continue to deliver vital services like water provision, erosion control, and flood prevention. Rhino ranges overlap significantly with those of tigers and Asian elephants, creating important synergies for conservation. Many key rhino strongholds are also important tiger habitats. Kasaranga, for example, has the highest tiger density of any protected area in the world, while Manas and Chitwan National Parks are also important for both species. Through its Tigers Alive initiative, WWF is working with tiger range states including India and Nepal to double tiger numbers by 2022, the next year of the tiger in the Chinese calendar. This is creating significant opportunities to strengthen protected areas and corridors, clamp down on poaching, and support sustainable livelihoods for neighboring communities, to the benefit of tigers, rhinos, elephants, and many other species. Ultimately, the aim is to secure 7 million hectares of forests, grasslands, and wetlands across the region, producing a harmonious mosaic of healthy, vibrant landscapes, providing plentiful resources for people while giving wildlife space and securing the ecological and cultural treasures of the Himalayas. The greater one-horned rhino's rich history and iconic status nationally and internationally make it a powerful symbol for conservation. With many successful projects to build on, a thriving future for rhinos should be a priority for the Himalayan region. Saving the rhino also provides a focus for conserving its endangered grassland habitat. The grasslands where one-horned rhinos are found are the tallest in the world and home to a wide diversity of species. Rhino conservation can help to strengthen local and national economies through tourism and sustainable development initiatives. Chitwan National Park in Nepal welcomed 173,000 visitors in 2013-14, generating revenue of 246.8 million rupees, 2.5 million US dollars in entry fees alone, half of which is reinvested in buffer zone communities. Since rhinos were reintroduced to Manas National Park in 2008, tourism has grown rapidly and land values have shot up. As rhino numbers increase and populations are re-established in new areas, new opportunities, and new challenges will develop. Just as human attitudes are the main threat to the rhino's survival, they also provide the key to its preservation. Communities closest to rhino population centers are absolutely crucial to conservation efforts. Rhinos can bring lasting prosperity to regions in which they're present, directly through ecotourism and indirectly through community development schemes, so rhino conservation is in everybody's interests. Tourism must remain carefully controlled so as not to harm the very wildlife that attracts the tourists in the first place. But when this is effectively handled, the revenue generated makes a massive difference. Park areas put the majority of their income back into local communities, with a view to sustaining a long-term balance between the needs of local people and the health of the parks themselves. Local people can benefit directly through initiatives such as homestays and selling crafts to tourists. As well as improving living standards, these initiatives provide much-needed employment for many local people. Villagers also frequently find employment in the parks themselves, whether working with tourists or alongside frontline staff on anti-poaching duties. The community plays a wider role in fighting poaching, with networks of local informers passing on information and intelligence about illegal activities. Community engagement has been a key factor in achieving zero poaching in Chitwan National Park. But for rhino conservation and the community development it enables to be successful, strong support is needed from governments and communities themselves. Long-term funding is also essential.